Thanks, mate.
Thank you. So yeah, as Stephen's mentioned, my name is Douglas Lim, and what I'm going to do today is I'm going to quickly go through, well, not quickly, we've got about an hour, to cover how to build a social media strategy that works. And then we're going to have a break, and then I'll get into Instagram. So who here actually is quite active on social media? Okay, good, so everyone is. Does anyone know why I want to teach the first session on strategy, right? More so strategy than technique. Can anyone take a guess? Correct. The reason why I want to teach this is there are going to be new social media channels coming out very consistently. So if I teach you techniques on how to use, you know, Facebook or how to use YouTube, another one's going to come. We've had Periscope come through. We've had Blab come through. We're going to have the next big thing that's going to come through. So the key elements that I'm going to talk about today in terms of the strategy is what's going to hold you instead for future social media channels. So that's my company. So at the end of today's session, you're going to learn how to get new customers, increase your brand awareness, and create a legion of raving fans. So the game plan, so just a quick background about me, so you know, I don't want to take too long because we've got a lot to cover, so you know who I am, and I get to meet you guys after. I want to lay the foundation, and then we're going to go into actually how to create that social media marketing strategy. All right, so a quick background about myself. Who knows what this picture is? Yeah. So for all the older guys, Windows 3.11. So I actually started my journey in that, and then I moved, when the internet first came out, I moved on to Netscape Navigator. Who's ever used that? Oh yeah, we got a few. Awesome. So that was the first web browser before Chrome and Safari and Firefox. And then I moved on to creating my first website with GeoCities. Yeah, anyone remember that? Yeah, some people, cool. ICQ, yeah, before Skype. Friendster, which was before MySpace, which was before Facebook. And then out of uni, I just worked at Motorola. And then like Stephen mentioned, 7 years ago, I started a business in digital marketing, but that time actually doing the work for clients. And so we started, I don't know if that probably doesn't come up probably well enough, but me and two other mates, we started in the garage of one of my mates' parents' houses. So, and we grew it to a small office, and then we grew it to a lot of staff. And then this year I've exited to focus more on teaching businesses. And I love what Stephen talks about, which is just being able to help other businesses succeed. That's my why, so that's my beautiful family, my wife, my daughter, have a second on the way. And I love this picture on our wedding day. I don't know if you can see it. So on the left-hand side are our Caucasian friends. On the right-hand side are our Asian friends. What do you think the cameras are? Right there. So I absolutely love that photo. It's stereotypical, isn't it? So let's get into laying the foundation. Okay, so the first couple of slides, I just want to talk about the theory behind social media. Now, the first thing to realize is that social media is exactly like the offline world. So when you go to a networking event, which we all have done and continually do, it's based on relationships. So it's not a one-way monologue, it's actually a two-way dialogue. So you have your fans on social and you're going to be connecting with them. Secondly, this is so true, people will buy from you if they know, like, and trust you. So I see a lot of companies on social media that talk about all they talk about is themselves. Buy our product. That's not going to work if you want to generate leads and customers. It just doesn't. People got to trust you first. And this is even more so since I started my second business in January this year. The biggest thing is you want to provide value, more value, and even more value. So I loved what Stephen and Josh talk about. It's how can we help your customers solve their problems. It's not about you, it's about your audience. So, you know, I've seen a lot of social media accounts that talk about the many awards that they've won and how good they are, which is all good, but it's not about you, it's about your audience. How can you help your audience solve their problems? Who said this? The net worth is in the network. Yeah? So true. So in social, just like the offline world, networks are extremely powerful. And you know when you meet someone at a networking event, you catch up for a coffee, you see if there's any synergies, and then you potentially do business with each other. And then they go from being a client to an advocate of your business. So that person will then expose you to their network. And that's how you get more word of mouth, more referrals, more business. And that's exactly how I grew my first business. Perth is a very small business community. Everyone knows everyone. So if you help others succeed, you'll get a lot of referrals. No different to social media. And we want to leverage other people's networks. Collaborate together for everyone to succeed. Okay, this is the final point before I go on. So important. How many here realize that you don't own your social media channels? Yeah? Now, the reason why I say this is that social media is actually rented land. You don't own it. So your accounts can be revoked at any time. And I've seen this happen. I saw one guy who built a Facebook fan page, spent a lot of time and money growing it to 100,000 plus fans or likes. And then Facebook revoked it because someone had trademarked that name and he'd lost all that money and time. So the third point is play by the rules. So there's a lot of stuff out there that you'll come across in your journeys that will say, hey, you'll be able to do this or buy likes or do that. I don't recommend any of that stuff. Just play by the rules, keep your accounts safe. All right, let's get into creating your social media marketing strategy. All right, so there are four areas that make up a social media marketing strategy, which is what I want to talk about today. The first one being authority. So how do you become the go-to authority in your industry or niche? Second one, as businesses, how do we improve the bottom line, which is how do we generate more leads and more customers for your business? The third one, listening. So how do you manage your brand? How do you manage your reputation? So people saying stuff about you on social media, it can go viral. So how do you protect that? And then also use it as a launch pad to not only listen to your to the negative stuff, but to promote your current fans and make them raving fans. And then finally, this is a big thing which I've learned in social media networking, developing strategic partnerships with other businesses, other companies, other social media accounts to leverage their network, and they can leverage your network. That's how you grow much faster. Does it all make sense so far? Yep, excellent. All right, so how do we become the go-to authority in your industry? All right, the first thing is, how many of you guys have actually done this to characterize your customers, know your customer avatar? Josh covered this really well. How many of you guys have actually invested the time to do that? Show of hands. Yeah, quite a few. This is the key. This is the key. This is not just for social media, but it's all your digital marketing. You have to know your customer avatar. And I'm going to run you through that. So your turn. Let's kick off with this exercise. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to answer some of these questions. And then I'll give 2 minutes for you to sit and talk with the person next to you, what you guys come up with. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions. First one, give your ideal customer a name, an actual physical name. If you're stuck for a guy, just call him Doug, Stephen, or Josh. Career and income, do they have a job? Do they own a business? How long have they been doing this for? What are their income levels? Family, do they have a family? Do they have kids? Demographics, are they male, female, age groups? And what is their location? And what are they interested in? You know, what are they passionate about? What do they enjoy? So go ahead, I'll give you 3 minutes and then I'll say stop and then switch over to the person next to you.
To talk.
Okay, shall we wrap it up? I'm gonna get a couple of you guys to share. So how about this table here? Yeah? In a loud voice that everyone could hear?
No kids, no partners, so they're a bit more risk adverse, no one else to think about but themselves.
Excellent.
That's interests. Most of them seem to be working sort of 55, 60 hour weeks as well, so
yep.
Plenty of money and no time to sort of worry about looking into to things themselves.
Yeah, something to tell businesses in general, isn't it? Mm. No, it's very good. I'll go one more. If we, Stephen, if we could try, go from the ladies, this, maybe the ladies on this side.
I've got an my ideal client for the salon would be a mother, so I've named her Mary, and she's a part-time worker as well as a full-time mother. So she's got time to come to the salon, obviously, on those other days off. She has two children at school but one at home, which keeps her at home, which means she can come in school hours, which suits me better for my business because I have children as well. She's social, so she likes to have her hair done and makeup done and goes out and has a husband that can pay for it.
I was going to say, oh, is that my wife? Oh, not really. I love it. It's funny, have you guys heard of the saying, the acronym DINKS? D-I-N-K-S? Yeah, we use it a lot in Perth because of the mining boom and stuff like that. Double income, no kids. All right, moving on. So these are just some more questions to ask. I won't get you to do it now, but basically communication. So how do they like to consume information? So not everyone in your audience is going to like emails or video or Facebook post. How does your audience like to receive information? What are their goals? What do they want to achieve? What are some of their challenges and pain points? So exactly what you're doing for your current customers, how can you help them solve their problems by providing your solution? And then just going even further, their objections. So do they have any objections to buying from you, your product or service? And then your messaging, how would you describe it to them? And then your 30-second pitch. So if you were stuck in an elevator with your target customer avatar, how would you pitch your product or service to them? All right, moving along. So now that you know your customers, very, very important to actually find out where they hang out on social media. So a lot of people, they tend to just go, oh, I think I need Facebook, I need Twitter, I need Pinterest. But actually finding out, once you know your customer avatar, where they live online. So a couple of ways to actually do that is to actually literally ask them. I'm a big fan of asking. Because how many of you guys actually just survey your customers? Yeah? Some of you? Yeah? Because when you survey, I know when I fill out surveys, I'll tend to put what I would hypothetically say. But until I put my money down onto the table, that's what I'll actually do. So I've learned to actually just ask them and see what they actually do. So look at their social media profiles and see how active they actually are. And then a little tip that I want to give you guys is look at your competitors, see what they're doing on their social media channels in terms of what channels they're on. Then going back into that, dovetailing to that, choose your platform. So I recommend 2 or 3 max, because I know I'm on a lot, but it's the time investment. It's a lot of work. So you're far better just focusing on 2 or 3, do them really well, than try to focus on everything. Don't spread yourself too thin. Okay, here's some guidelines. And now these are the guidelines that I found from doing digital marketing strategies for clients across a whole range of different industries and niches. So I've had clients who are accountants, lawyers, mechanics, hairdressers, not-for-profits, all sorts over in Perth. And these are my guidelines. So first one, Facebook. It's the biggest social platform out there bar none. And so I highly recommend having a presence. I personally I'm not that active on Facebook except Facebook ads. And I'm going to explain this in a second, why I'm not that active on Facebook, as in having a Facebook fan page that posts quite regularly. LinkedIn, great for B2B businesses. So if your customers are another business, great for that. YouTube, I love what Josh went through. It's the second largest search engine behind Google. If you want to search for something, what do you do? How to something? Go on YouTube, eh? YouTube, how to do something. And if you appear at the top, like what Josh has gone through, you're going to get a whole bunch of leads. Now, Instagram, which is my most favorite social media channel, which I'll go through this afternoon. But these guys are a highly engaged community of millennials. And when I say engaged, they are engaged. So they will respond and they will talk back, which is good. Twitter, so who's on Twitter? Anyone? Yeah, okay, a few of us. I think this is neither here or there. So I think I think you guys realise that, don't you? So you kind of need to test it for your industry, because I think it's just neither here nor there. Pinterest, great for visual type businesses. So predominantly it's a female audience. I know my wife's friends who are female tend to go on there looking at wedding dresses. I'm not being stereotypical, but looking at wedding dresses, houses, and all that sort of good stuff, and home decor. Google Plus. I don't do much with Google Plus. I think you have to kind of plug into that community, and it's a lot of work for a lot of effort. And I know Google they've actually shut down the team to drive Google Plus. So I reckon just have a presence there. Just set a profile up there, and that's good enough. All right, your turn. So I'll give you, let's say, 2 minutes to answer these three questions. So locate your customers. So these customers that you've gone through with your customer avatar, where would they hang out on social media? Choose your channels, pick three channels where these customers would hang out, and then a social media check. Have you got your profiles or pages set up on these social media channels? So the next thing is, you've worked out your customer avatar, you found out where they are on social media, you're gonna focus on 2 to 3 channels. Next, you've got to develop your brand voice. So this is very, very critical. So how's the tone of your business? Is it personal? Or are you going to be more professional? Are you going to be fun? Are you going to be serious? And this is the last point in this slide that I really want to make known to you guys. Think of what I said before about how you can add value to your audience. So what I mean by that is, say for example, are there any mechanics in the room that own a mechanic business? No one? Okay. I'll use an example. Even if you're a mechanic or a bricks and mortar business, think about it this way. If you're a mechanic, I would think, okay, how can I add value to my audience? Well, there's a couple of things we can do. Tying into what Josh has shared, I could teach people how to check your water, how to check your oil, how to fit a baby seat into this particular model of car, and create all this great content to help my audience, and then by the end of it saying, hey, you know, I've taught you that, but if you want me to actually do it, we can do it for you, yeah? Because the thing is, when you give value to your audience, you create two very powerful mental triggers. First one being trust, because you trust them because you've seen their knowledge. And the second powerful mental trigger, which is so powerful, is authority, yeah? So you've shown that you know what you're talking about, you create trust, and people will buy from you. So how many of you guys have been on a webinar, say for example, yeah? I've done this. Have you ever been on a webinar, by the end of the 60 minutes or 90 minutes, you know, they do their sales pitch and you're like, your heart's pumping because you're thinking, yeah, I might actually buy this, yeah? Because in that 60 minutes, they've created that trust and authority enough for you to buy, depending on the presenter, same principle. So a couple examples here. I just use my example because I love what Josh taught. So I actually started my social media journey with YouTube. So this is two videos I did 3 years ago. First one talking about social media marketing, and the second one how to get more Facebook likes and fans. Now, I did not do anything that Josh mentioned. I bought a cheap camera from JB Hi-Fi. My audio was absolutely shocking, and I didn't even prepare anything. I literally just got my wife in front of my whiteboard to videotape me, and then I just blabbed on. I just said what was in my mind. Halfway through this video, I'm really nervous, so I dropped the pen and I'm talking and I've gone like that, and it's not good. But to this day, I've had on this video, I think about, I can't see them, 27,000 views and 60,000 views. So I've done a video as well on how to use the Facebook Power Editor, which is to create your ads. And I've had this marketing company from the US wanting me to train them just from that YouTube video. So I just want to reinforce what Josh has taught. Video is very, very powerful, and it doesn't have to be awesome. It can just be like that. So that was my brand positioning, my messaging. I wanted to teach people how to use social media, but more so how to actually market on social media. So that was how I lead into the other stuff. These guys, I love what these guys do. They're based in Australia. They have a multi-million dollar business. They're a chiropractor. And can you guess what videos they do? Anyone? Chiropractic videos, yeah. And because that's a big area, isn't it? Like people getting sore backs or legs or knees, they actually do videos on how you can improve and alleviate some of that pain. And it's just very quick, 5 to 10 minute videos. Sorry, not quick, but videos to help you solve that problem. And they get hundreds and thousands of leads. So they're a multi-million dollar business. And what's this one? Oh, Happy Soul Food Company. These guys do really well. Their brand positioning is they do health products in Woolies. And they've taken to the market to say, hey, there's this big area of paleo, sugar-free, gluten, all this sort of area that a lot of people are interested in. What they've done is they've gone, our brand position is we're going to teach you, we're going to decipher all that information on the internet, we're going to help you guys understand it, and then meanwhile on the side, we've got products that incorporate all that. So very, very smart. Okay, your turn. So I'll give you a minute. How can you add value to your audience and become the go-to authority in your niche? What can you do? Because I think I've got a lot to cover in a short period of time. So how many guys found that quite easy to do? Yeah, some of you found, who found it quite tricky to work out? Yeah, had one of the ladies, sorry, what was your name?
Martina.
Yeah, Martina. Martina had a great question because she does lollies. How can you add value if you're selling lollies? And we're just chatting and I was sharing like, is there anything special about your lollies? And she said, no, just they're really old fashioned lollies. One thing you could do if you're in that niche is to share the history of lollies. Like, you know, when we've got old lolly shops in Perth and seeing the history in England, how it came over, Willy Wonka, how that all started. Because a lot of people are interested in that sort of stuff. And you could talk about that, be the authority in that field. So that's one way of adding value to your audience. All right, next, develop a content plan. So in terms of what you're now going to post on social media to become that go-to authority, it's so important now to align it with what we've just gone through. So what is your core messaging? What is your brand positioning that you're going to take? And to become that go-to authority, now create content around it. So we've had Josh talk about videos. I love a mixture of images, videos, and articles. So don't just do one type of content, mix it up. So images, videos, and articles. And I always use this phrase, motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain. So what I'm trying to teach you is it's not just about education, it's also about entertainment. Because if I'm on Facebook, I'm not necessarily there to be educated. I could be there just to catch up with friends and family. And, you know, the funny cat videos or, you know, this video or this video, you know, it's good stuff, being entertained, being motivated. So how many of you guys have been on social media and you see all those quotes, like heaps of them? Yeah? Yeah, because that's motivation, to motivate you, inspire you. Sometimes some people do it too much. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, heaps too much. So they're the four things that you want to work out. And then just work out a content schedule. So it can be so simple, it could just be, I like to do a month. So just put a calendar out and write, I'm going to talk about this day, this day, this day, this day, this day, and just plan it out. That's it. And I'll give you a couple examples. So I highly recommend visual content because that goes viral. So that stuff where, you know, you post something on Facebook, people will share it to their timeline and then their networks see it. So I'll give you an example. So who here has heard of Neil Patel? Yeah, okay, no worries. Well, he's a digital marketer that I highly respect. And I follow him on Facebook and it was interesting because he does a lot of motivational quotes as well. And these are, I'm gonna have to look here. So this one, successful people know the difference between patience and procrastination. He's had 108 people like it and 4 shares. Who'd be happy with that? Yeah, I'd be pretty happy with that. Then I noticed about 3 months ago, he started just creating it visually. This one, it's gone from 108 people liking it with 4 shares to now 875 people liking it with 304 shares. That's a huge differential just because he made a visual image. So that's a key. Same as me. We're talking about the quotes, eh? I chucked one up there. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. So I started doing a few motivational quotes as well. I had about 44 likes and 3 shares. Then I started doing the visual stuff, and I had 77 likes and 28 shares. So it's a huge, huge differential, because all the stuff I tell you today, it's not theory. It's stuff that I actually try and test and do, and I report back question. Correct, correct, yep. Yes, correct. When I go through Instagram, I'm going to show you the actual apps on your smartphone that I use. Those apps I use to create these for Facebook as well. So yeah, but Canva's fantastic. Started up by some Aussies as well, which is really good. All right, who wants to know about how to generate leads and convert them into customers, yeah? So we're talking about brand awareness, how to be the go-to authority. All right, let's get into it. So we're now in the era of paying to play. So what I mean by that is organic reach, especially on Facebook, has dropped a lot since it's gone public. How many of you guys have noticed when you post something on Facebook, not many people actually see it, yeah? It's actually at 2% at the moment. So that means, I'll give you an example, if I had 1,000 fans on my Facebook fan page, I post something, what's 2% of 1,000? 20, yes, thank you. 20 people, if 1,000 people were online at that moment, 20 people would actually see your post. That is a terrible return on investment. And then they're doing these things where if you want it to be seen, you have to pay for it, you have to boost your post. And that's because they're a public company, they have to make money. So we're now going into that era of paying to play. And remember how I made that point where social media is rented land, you don't own it? I never ever wanted to have my customers on social media and try to make sales off that, because if Facebook changed their algorithm one day, I've lost all that time and effort I've put in. So how do we do this? You've got to get them off social media. So you have to move your leads and customers off social media from something that is rented to something you own. And the thing that you own is your email list. Yeah, so who here is actively building an email list? Good. Yeah, really good, guys. That's how you generate leads and convert them into customers. So by moving them off social media from rented land to something you own, you have control over your email list. You can email them whenever you want. No one's going to stop you from emailing them. And then the best thing is, email has just become so big nowadays that how many of you guys actually check your email first thing in the morning and kind of before you sit? Yeah, that's right. And it's gone to the point now where you could be waiting for a friend. I've got 2 minutes instead of just waiting there, you know, when you didn't have mobiles. What do? Go on Facebook, check your email. Email's huge. So it gives you an opportunity to convert your leads into customers using a soft sell email marketing approach. So I want to cover the theory behind this. So what do I mean by that? Is when you do it via email, you want to give value, 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 which is this image here. Sorry, I'll show you in a second. I'll use this stat. So according to Monetate's fourth quarter review, the average conversion rate via email of getting a sale was 3.84% versus social media's average conversion rate of 0.74%. So that's a huge differential between night and day. So what that means is if you were to try to sell something on email, it's 3.whatever%. If you try to sell something by posting something on social media and selling it that way, it's 0.84%. Oh, here we go. This is what I want to show. So this is how you're going to convert your leads into customers. So get them into your email list. Send an email with quality content, quality content, quality content, and then soft sell your product or service. And then email with quality content, email with quality content. So this process here, what we're doing is we're just going to add value to your customers, to your leads, showing them your trust, it's creating trust and showing them your authority. And then we're going to, in the third or fourth email, go, hey, by the way, this is what we offer as well. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you'll be able to get a higher conversion rate. Because how many of you guys have subscribed to something like Woolies, and then you just get sales emails every day, yeah? Yeah, discount emails. And you know what it looks like? Special sale discount. And you just bin, bin, bin. That's what we don't want to do. So this is the approach. Is it all making sense so far? I'm going to give this analogy. So if you had a whole stack of mail in the post on your table, how many of you guys know when a sales letter comes through? You can tell, can't you? Because it's got like the advertising on the end. If you see that, you'll chuck it away or you just won't read it yet. But if you see a letter that has your name, your address, and nothing else, it kind of looks important, doesn't it? So that's your priority to open that. I use that same analogy. So with Woolies, I totally disagree with what they're doing, because the reason why they do that is because they have so much money in advertising that it's just a let's throw everything out there because we've got all this money and see what we can come up with, rather than a defined strategy, which is what I want to give you guys. Because if you follow this, you will not only create, and I'll show you an example, it's not only will you get more customers, but you're going to get the thing that's going to create the biggest thing, which is word of mouth. People are going to refer you just through your emails. Remember how I said I don't actually focus a lot on Facebook page for that reason? Because you will put all this effort in it and you're not going to see much of a return on investment. So I spend most of my time on Instagram because you'll see it's highly engaged, YouTube, and they're my two biggest. So that's where I spend most of my time. My Facebook fan page, I probably post something one every week, if that, you know, just being honest. And most of my other time is spent on my email list, because that's an asset. So I'll just quickly give an example here. The way to get your fans off social media into your email list is you've got to provide something, what we call lead magnet. So it's an internet marketing term, which is just something of value to give them a reason to join your list. Because I see so many times on a website, join my email list for free updates. Remember how it's not about you, it's about them. No one, unless you're a big 800-foot-pound gorilla in your niche or industry, no one's going to join your email list to get free updates, unless they're really passionate about your brand. But you give them something of value. So how many of you guys have seen that? Download this ebook, and they want your email address, yeah? Ebook, course, all this great content out there. That's what they're doing. It's just called a lead magnet. So just examples, email course, teaching something of value, ebooks, PDFs, checklists, resource lists, and if you're into shopping, you know, a discount or free shopping offers work really well to join your email list. And this is just an example. This is mine, so go. So this is just an ad I ran on Facebook, goes into my landing or my webpage, which offers my lead magnet. You subscribe, then you start getting my emails. More examples. So these are two companies that are offering these ebooks. But for example, Vend is a finance company, but they're offering, what's this? A free ebook for retailers. But they're in finance. Why are they doing that? Because they want your email address. They're trying to give you value. You sign up with them, and they're going to use that soft sell email approach to then sell you their product or service, because they're using the complementary service approach in industries or that are related to what they do. So they're just more examples. Okay, I'll give 30 seconds. What is something of value that you can offer your audience? A computer safety checklist, that is absolutely perfect. That will give me a reason to sign up to your email list. All right, next we've got two more areas to cover, which I'm just gonna fly through. So this is so important, hearing what people are saying about your brand. How many of you guys actually actively go on social media to see what people are saying about your business? Yeah, some of you, excellent, excellent. Because it allows you to protect your brand and protect your reputation as a business. It allows you to provide customer service, because there are people that actually ask questions on social media. And it allows you to promote your fans and take them from being a fan to a raving fan. And it allows you to create social proof. And the big thing, I love this, user-generated content. And what do I mean by that? Is if people, for example, paintballing, if people post a picture of them at paintball, you could take that picture and post it as part of your Instagram page. And you haven't had to generate that content. You've used their content for yourself, and you've created social proof. So one thing I like to do with my customers and stuff is I'll post a picture and I'll actually use the word saying, thank you so much for your kind words, quotation marks, and what they say. So it creates great social proof. Now, this is a bit of a how-to. So when you're on social, create your own hashtag. So the reason why I say this is if people, when they're posting stuff about your brand, if they get used to using your hashtag, you'll just find people will consistently use that and they'll share it. So in that way, you can go on Facebook, Instagram, and search for that hashtag and find those fans that are posting about your brand. So that's something, a big tip that I want to give. Just search on social media. Respond to all questions and comments. It does take time, but this is how you really create the engaged community. And use tools like Mention, which saves you time. So Mention will just go through all your social media. If they pick up anything, they'll email you, so you don't actually have to go on physically and look for it. Examples. So who here has heard of Frank Body? Yeah, yeah. So they have all these products. They've grown to a $20 million business off the back of Instagram. And I love their hashtag that they use. So it's called Frank Body. Their hashtag is, let's be frank. So what they do is all their fans and all the people that buy their products are using that hashtag. And if I did this search the other day on Instagram, 38,000 posts with that hashtag, let's be frank. That's how they're creating that viral buzz to promote their product. It's amazing. And this one again, Happy Soul. This is just a post on Instagram that promotes this raving fan that posted an image of something she made up. So Happy Soul do health products that you can easily assemble and make. She's made it, a paleo chocolate, and she's posted on Instagram, and Happy Soul have posted it. Once again, with Happy Soul, this fan here on Instagram, because she's been promoted on Happy Soul's Instagram page, look how many times she's with the circles, she's posted about Happy Soul. So she's just doing Happy Soul a free publicity on her own Instagram page. This is a guy on my YouTube channel. Quickly read it. Because what he said was so true. I was just helping him on one of my videos. Didn't get paid for it, just adding value. And because I helped him, he said, I will... he goes, engage with the people equals investing your time equals ROI. Your willingness to engage me, I will hunt you on every social media platform and follow. Thank you. So I'm not saying that to big note myself, not at all. But I'm just giving an example. Sometimes you have to put that work in to engage, to respond to all comments and questions, to help them, and then you turn them into a raving fan. All right, last one, developing strategic partnerships. Okay, I'll fly through this and then I might just answer any questions if we've got time. All right, this is critical. So like I said, if you're at a networking event, you meet someone, you catch up for a coffee, and then you do business, and then they expose you to their network and you expose them to your network. Same thing with social media. You want to find accounts in your industry or niche that are complementary to what you do that you can form a strategic partnership with. So what do I mean by that? First thing is you need to offer them something of value. So for example, if you're an accountant, you could find lawyers, say for example, a complementary service that you could offer value to them and then do a strategic partnership with them where they then expose you to their audience and then vice versa. So it just all comes down to networking on social media. It's just contacting them, saying, hey, we're in similar industries and niches. How can we work together? It's as easy as that. This is just a quick example. These companies contacted me on Twitter because they know I've got a big Twitter following, wanted me to help them to promote their stuff. I said, sure, not a problem. I did that. Then they asked me, how can we help you? And I said, well, why don't you promote my podcast? Because I've got it out there. I'd love for you to promote it. And they did. And I've gotten 30 plus retweets and all this sort of stuff because of that symbiotic strategic partnership. Similar on YouTube. So you notice a lot of people that work together, the big YouTube stars, they'll feature someone else on their channel. And then in the description here, they'll say, go follow this guy or this girl on YouTube. So it's once again, just that strategic partnership. I'll go through this when I cover Instagram. And then finally, what are some complementary products or services that dovetail into your product or service that you could find on social media that could help you leverage their network and they could leverage your network? Is there something to think about? And then finally, here's my contact details if you want to get in touch. I do have a free course on 5 strategies to generate more leads through social media. That's just the link, douglasmdigital.com/free course. And I actually put my Facebook on here, my personal Facebook page, so if you want to get connected, would love to connect with you. Have we got time for questions or anything, Steve? Yeah?
Yeah, what about a round of applause for Doug? Good job.
Thanks, mate.
Awesome, mate. Actually, we had an experience with a restaurant, and there was a friend of ours put a bad review on somebody's restaurant in town, and the owners of the restaurant come back and smashed him and basically tried to defend their position. Yeah, but you turned up 5 minutes late, and yeah, but you, dude, just back away. Whatever you think, just shelve that for a second and just come from a professional approach of, we are so sorry. How do we put that fire out in the shortest amount of time? To because then the conversation kept going. You should have seen it. Then their friends come in. We haven't even been there. We're going to come next week. We're not going there now. Oh, don't come then. And we're going, I'm reading it going, what's this guy doing? But super bad. I should have brought it in. This is what not to do. Yeah. But mostly you guys do a great job. So it's such a small little... And it's the people who... whatever, maybe have ulterior motives as well.
So the question was, if you see someone that posts something on Instagram with a download, can you actually, is Instagram capturing it? Because in Twitter, you have lead generation cards where you just tell Twitter, yep, take my details, and it will send it off to the person that wants them. No, Instagram doesn't record it. You have to direct them to another web page on your website and capture their email details from there.
All right, one more question. Yes, yeah.
So I never take images if I don't say, I don't tag them. In the Instagram community, there's one guy, Tom. He's a model. He's a good-looking guy. A lot of Instagrammers take his pictures and put quotes on them because he's good-looking, much like Stephen. And absolutely, mate, absolutely. And but everyone gives him credit. So he likes it because people come visit his page. If you post something with your hashtag and people start seeing that hashtag, they start using it when they post about your stuff. One, it allows you to search on that platform for that hashtag, so you find all the people that have been talking about you. That's one thing. And secondly, brand awareness. So if I post something on Facebook or Instagram with your hashtag, people go, what's this? And then they'll click on your hashtag and actually see all the other posts, which leads them to your product or service or your business.
Basically creates a category. It's like a filing cabinet. As long as you put that hashtag in it, it goes into your filing cabinet. So if anybody searches for that name, they will see everything that's ever come up with that hashtag.
I would use your business, but something that's not obvious. Like, for example, Happy Soul. There's another beer in America called Happy Soul. So they use Happy Soul food.
All right, good stuff. We'll just leave it there because we're going to have a break.